This is the story of a ragtag bunch of church members who set out to perform a Christmas play, and the director who tried his hardest to just keep it all together. The glory of Christmas.
I am the longest running cast member of the Nativity Ensemble of our church. Well, I don't like to mention it, but I am a formerly trained prodigy of the theater arts.
Having Dan as part of our cast is fantastic.
Lord, I am surely blessed beyond measure.
Okay, good. Heather, let's do it again, but this time with more emotion, okay? Hey, I want you to Meryl Streep this up, okay?
You got it.
Dan thinks he's helping, but all he does is compare everything to Meryl Streep.
Tony, need you to channel your inner Meryl.
My dear Mary,
stop. I need to Meryl this over for a minute. Oh, this is no way to treat your actors. Meryl would have seen this and walked immediately.
Really, Dan? Because this potato salad looks so Meryl right now.
Suddenly, the most splendiferous heavenly being appeared to my cohorts and me.
Stick to the script, please.
Okay, Joel, it's called The Glory of Christmas. I think the shepherds deserve a little more poetic language, don't you think?
It's the Bible, Dan. God may beg to differ with you.
By day, I make a living as an accountant, a dedicated one. But a dedicated actor must lose themselves and fully become the character.
Do you have any questions for me at all?
What's that smell?
Green pastures. Green pastures, Annette. I am so method. I haven't bathed in a month.
You really need to take a bath.
I can't. These shepherds were society's misfits. You know, they were... Sure, transfixed by a choir of angels, but also amazed that God had chosen them. They were the scrawny kid in PE. The nerd who went alone to the prom. They were the glee club president twice. They were the least of these. God asked me to be the keeper of the most important message that's ever been kept. To tell everyone that he sent the greatest gift ever, the Prince of Peace. The lowest in the land is given the highest honor.
What's that smell?
Oh man, that's such a great video. I love that one. Anything that's good by the Skit Guys. Oh, they're so good. But the shepherds who are highlighted in this video, probably my favorite part of the Christmas story. Well, outside of, Jesus. He's the main character. They're my favorite side story in this. But they were just minding their own business out in the middle of a field, half awake, watching their sheep, and then boom, angels and bright lights. And like they just such an amazing story. We're going to dive in. I want to read that right now. So let's go ahead and read that in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Oh, it's just such an awesome story. I don't know if you guys feel the same way about that passage as me. Last week, Pastor Doug talked about Joseph being underqualified. In this case, the shepherds, they were not just underqualified, but they were looked down upon by everyone. So I want to take a minute and give you a little bit of a picture of who these guys were. They were outcasts. They were probably overlooked by everybody. If people did look at them, it was probably to judge them for smelling like sheep or not being dressed very nice. So in the video, Dan's method acting probably created some realistic responses. I do kind of wonder if he brought a certain smell with him, or if the shepherds brought a certain smell with them to the birth of Jesus. I do wonder also if the wise man's response in the video, he's like, "What is that smell?" And he has to kind of cover his nose. I wonder if that was any of the thoughts that anybody was having during that moment. But a shepherd spent day and night with sheep. In the early morning, he would lead the flock from the fold, marching in front of them to a spot where they could eat. And here he watched them all day long, making sure that none of them strayed. And if any did, they would go and find that sheep and bring it back. Sheep constantly needed water. And so the shepherd would need to lead them to a running stream or a well that was dug in the wilderness. At night, he would take the flock back to the fold, counting them, assuring himself that none were missing. But a lot of times, a shepherd's job does not end with nighttime, because they have to stay up and keep an eye on the sheep and make sure that no wild beasts, like wolves or anything like that, would come and take the sheep, or that no thieves would show up. They didn't have time to spend with other people, basically just them and other shepherds. According to Dan in the video, shepherds were like the skinny kid in gym class, the nerd who went to the prom alone, president of the glee club. The least of these. In the story we just watched, Dan is trying to get everybody to play their role with channeling their inner Meryl Streep. He was really harping on that. He was pushing to be something that he was not. He was pushing others to be something that they were not. He wanted to spice up his character. You see, everyone in this skit was chosen to play their role because of who they are, and who they are lined up with the role that they were playing. Mary was a pregnant lady playing a pregnant lady. Joseph was a bumbling guy who was kind of underqualified, playing a guy who felt underqualified. The director was asking them to be themselves. He wasn't asking them to channel their inner Meryl or to change who they were or to change who the character was intended to be. And just like them, just like everybody else, the shepherds were created in the image of God on purpose and with purpose. God called them just as they were. God had a purpose for them just as they were. He didn't call them to be something different, just to do something different. God sent a message to all of Israel when he called the shepherds on that night. He didn't care if they were popular or if they smelled good or whatever. He loved them and he had a purpose for them just the way that they were. And God says the same thing about you. God called you to be you. He's asking you to play your role in his story and be yourself. There are two verses that really come to my mind when I think about this concept. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." The word "formed" in this passage is generally used to describe the process of making pottery. It's the same word used back in Genesis when God shaped man out of the dust of the earth. He handcrafted each one of us on purpose. He knew what he was doing when he made you the way that you are. The second verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." Jumping down to verse 11. "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." He has gifted you with the gifts you have on purpose and for a purpose. You see, Joel, that's the director in this video, he said, Dan thinks he's helping, but all he's doing is comparing everything to Meryl Streep. When we try to be someone that we're not, when we try to ask other people to be something that they're not, we are not helping. God's not calling you to channel your inner Meryl or your inner Francis Chan or John Stumbo or Billy Graham. God called you to be you. He formed you. He gifted you. You have a specific purpose in his greater story, however big or small. What is that purpose? We each have an individual purpose, but we also have a greater collective purpose. The line that Dan delivered at the manger was right on point. He said, "God asked me to be the keeper of the most important message that's ever been kept." This true and glorious responsibility, this invitation that started with the shepherds, was not meant to end with the shepherds. The first sharing of this story with those shepherds was only the initial link of a global communication chain. In one of his final moments on earth, before his ascension to go back to the Father in heaven, Jesus gave his disciples an overt commission that has been described as great. Why? Because of the scope of people it is intended to share this message with around the world? Let's look at that commission in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The shepherds were entrusted with a message. But Jesus did what Jesus does. He upped the ante. He entrusted the disciples and all of us with that same message. God didn't just call the shepherds. God called you too. God called me. Not only did he form you the way you are on purpose, for his purpose, and extend the calling of the shepherds to you, that message that he gave to the shepherds and to us is for everyone. The clarification of that calling. Give this message to everyone. In Luke 2, that we read earlier, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." How about the Great Commission? Matthew 28, verse 19, it said, "All nations." All means everyone. Everyone. The glory of Christmas is that God's intention was that nobody gets left out. Every person created in the image of God was, is, and forever will be a person God desires for Jesus to save. God sent Jesus to be born to rescue everyone. While the shepherds out in the fields were the ones chosen to begin sharing the message that was entrusted to them, God's intentions were for them to be the first among many to receive the good news of Christmas and the glory of who Jesus was and who he came to save. Everyone. This glorious, inclusive truth is echoed throughout the New Testament. I want to look at a couple of these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. "First of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are high in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." 2 Peter 3, 9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And then finally, John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." It has always been at the center of God's heart for all nations, all ethnicities, people of all walks of life, all people all over the world that God so loved and created to come to know and experience salvation from sin through Jesus. Not only are all nations meant to experience the glory of Christmas, but also each person of each nation is meant to in turn be part of the Great Commission to share the glorious story of salvation with others who haven't heard it yet. The story of Jesus as the Savior of the entire world was meant for you, on its way to someone else. It was never meant to find a dead end. Receiving that message comes with a responsibility to, in turn, share that message. This is what Paul was writing about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might not no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Let's jump down to verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What this means is that the glorious message of Christ, of Christmas, has been entrusted to first century shepherds, to 21st century method actors, and every single person who puts their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus for salvation. For all who have responded to this message of hope, peace, joy, and love found in the person of Jesus, all now have been entrusted and commissioned as ambassadors of Jesus, compelled by his love to share that message with the whole world. No one should be left out. All are deserving of hearing the good news of Christ in ways that are understandable and clear. God made that clear when he chose the shepherds on that first night. He said, I'm including everybody, including the people that you don't want to include. Dan said, God sent the greatest gift ever, the Prince of Peace. The peace you can have with God comes only through the one who was embodied, all wrapped up in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, Jesus. What Jesus came to do through his perfect life, death, and resurrection is what would bring all people peace with God. He dealt with and paid the price for the sins of everyone. That is what the glory of Christmas would lead to one day. God asked you, as you are, in the way that he formed you, to be the keeper of the most important message that has ever been kept, to tell everyone he sent the greatest gift ever, the Prince of Peace. This is the highest honor. I want to close by sharing some song lyrics with you. I heard Micah Tyler's song Amen on the radio the other day, and it really just resounded with me on this message. It starts out saying, when I think about where I would have been without you, I'm so glad it's a place I never have to be. Even if I tried, I couldn't count the ways, not enough words for me to ever say just how good you are to me. How could I hide this joy inside of me? Amazing grace, oh Lord, how can it be? Every day of my life, I want the world to see. I can't get over what you've done for me. You got me singing like, amen. The angels in this story with the shepherds, they said it was good news of great joy. Don't forget what he has done for you. Despite everything going on around us, we have something to be joyful about. And we have been called to spread that joy. Not hide it inside. Not keep it to ourselves. I have to ask you, Are you spreading joy? Are you spreading something else? Do you want the world to see that you can't get over what he's done for you? How will you respond to the glory of Christmas, to the joy of what he's done for you? And who will be the next person you choose to share that glory and joy with this Christmas? Would you pray with me? Lord, you have entrusted us with a task so amazing. But you've shaped each and every one of us in such a way that when we rely on you, we have everything it takes to do what you've asked us to do. Lord, remind us of the joy of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to share that joy with the world. In your name we pray. Amen.